Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. Wednesday morning.
Yes.
Wow. Almost the end of May. Could you believe that?
Almost the end of the first term back for lots of our school kids as well, who made the return to school not too long ago.
Wow, yeah, half term. For teachers as well, which is great. They'd be in need of a break, won't they? Mm.
It's been lovely to make plans with some of our friends who are teachers as you're right, this is kind of the first opportunity. We've been able to see them at weekends for the odd thing here or there, but being able to make proper plans when you're fairly sure that there won't be things that will get in the way, that's lovely. And that's what everyone's beginning to be able to do that. Of course, there's some places in the UK right now who... there's so many mixed messages, aren't there, about what you can and can't do and who you should and shouldn't see. But right now, for us in our area, it's lovely to be able to make plans, to be able to see people, to be able to go to people's homes. And I had a great moment where I was able to pray with some people in their home, which felt like one of those things that you're not supposed to do, but then it was like, oh wait, yeah, you can. So that was lovely, and it's just great to be able to begin to get out there a bit more. And of course, that's what we did on Sunday, wasn't it? We got out there.
We did, Tom, even with the weather forecast and the uncertainty and the clouds. But you said it was going to stop raining at 10:05, and it probably just about did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a couple of minutes before 10:05, and we discovered that we can set up for church outdoors and online in about half an hour as well. So that was manic. I think manic's the right word.
Fast. We could have done with some fast music behind the setting up. It was done so quickly and efficiently. Yeah, that music. It would have been great fun to have videoed all the setup, wouldn't it? It would have been great fun.
And of course, more of the people in the congregation who were there to help out as well, with everyone setting up chairs. And it's always so wonderful to see. Whenever we do one of these services on the car park, me and Tim have the privilege of standing up at the front. And this time, I'm not quite sure why. You know, you mentioned that people seem very, very far away from us compared to normal. Whereas most weeks, people are much closer. Yeah. And I'm not quite sure why that was. I know some people were slightly put off because of the weather, but they had no need to, because it was dry the whole time and it started raining about 10 minutes after the end of the service.
I know.
But it is just, it's such an incredible thing to see lots of people. And, in church, it's nice seeing lots of people. And church at the minute on a Sunday morning is full. When we look out from the front, every seat is full, or every block of chairs is full. But I'll be honest and say it's not quite the same as seeing, 60, 70 people mask-free, dare I say, and kind of just... being able to sing and worship Jesus as one big church family together, compared to the slightly restricted state that we have when we're meeting indoors. And it just it really builds me up, and I think it gives both of us a bit of a boost, doesn't it? Because it can be weary on a Sunday morning at times, especially after we've been setting up for however long beforehand, and we're just sort of there like, we know it's all worth it, but it's so much pain to set up. But then when we actually get to it, and we sort of, as we did this Sunday, we invite God to basically come and be amongst us. We're just there like, this is church.
Yeah, I just had that feeling, that church was meant to be outdoors, really, wasn't it? It's a shame we don't have the climate for it every single week. But there's something very special, isn't there, about being outside and just connecting in some way with the bigger thing, to see... the vastness of the sky and everything, even in the inclement weather that it was. But just to feel that we're part of something else, part of something bigger, part of God's creation. And funny enough, I was reading this morning in a little book I'm reading, and it talked about a church in Indiana called New Harmony Church. And it's called the Roofless Church. And it has four walls, but no roof at all.
Wow.
And they meet every Sunday without a roof on. Isn't that amazing? And and for them, how it all started was this sense that we're part of this big creation that God has created for us, you know. And yeah, I had that sense on Sunday, really, you know, God's people outside in God's world declaring his praises together. It was a lovely experience. And if only we had the weather for certain. But hey, we've had three services outdoors now, and three times we haven't got wet. So yeah, we're planning another one. At the end of June, we're going to go outside again and have a good time together out there. But it was great to see everybody, and not to have masks on and to sing was an absolute joy, wasn't it?
Mm. And so much of this at the moment is the fellowship that we're able to have as well with people. Being able to talk, being able to have those conversations with people that can be quite difficult to have on Zoom or in an online space, even over the phone, it's a lot more difficult. So it really is wonderful to see so many of you in and around church, back for various different things that are happening, for groups, for youth groups, for Fabric team, and all this, all of the things that are going on. Of course, we know that not everyone's wanting to come back straight away, and that's all right. You know, this is a time to take things at your own pace and what you feel comfortable with. But to those of you who are coming back to some of the things that are going on, it really is just wonderful to be able to see people and to do it in a safe way, of course, to do it in a way that is following all of the rules and guidelines and everything like that, but also just to be able to do it in a way that is quite, it feels liberating. And it does. You know, it's almost that bizarre thing where you know, we think back to Easter and the fact that we met on the car park, and for years and years we've kind of gone into the building and had a lovely warm roof and, you know, lots of chocolate and everything like that indoors and everything. But this year we witnessed to the flats, we witnessed to the people opposite, we witnessed to people walking past on the street. So many different people were able to hear the good news of Easter and Jesus and everything that comes from that, because we were forced into meeting outdoors. And so whatever happens come June the 21st, I think we're going to have to keep going with some of these open air experiences, aren't we? Because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. It was lovely to see some new faces as well on Sunday and people who we've never met before, who perhaps have been watching in at home to see what we're like. And then they like us so much, they come along and become part of our worship, which is an absolute joy. And it really is exciting to see what God's doing through different medium. And through being online has made a major difference. But people are then connecting in person, which is absolutely wonderful. And thank you to those of you who are sending links to people to encourage them to watch. Thank you to those of you who are inviting people to come along. And it really is a blessing when we begin to see that, you know, the Holy Spirit is stirring people up and doing what he does best, and that is to change lives. And that's the story of Pentecost, isn't it? You know, the story of Pentecost is this opportunity for God's message to be spoken out boldly and clearly. And because we do that and we're obedient, then he does his job, which is to draw people to Jesus. And that's the task of the church. It always has been, hasn't it? You know, to speak out the good news of Jesus in a language that people can understand, in a way that connects people to the story. And then they connect to Jesus and become part of the Christian community and the family as well. So what a joy to see that in action on Sunday morning. And we're praying that that will happen every single Sunday. And we're expecting that God will continue to use what we offer for his glory and honour. So keep on, church. Keep being the church. And let's continue to celebrate all that's going on.
And it's no surprise
we're not quite sure how the community... Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, it's no surprise that we were outdoors this weekend either, given the topic that came up. I don't know whether that was what you were about to say, but I think
it was very
carefully planned for it to be on Pentecost Sunday, for us to kind of go out into a very wet world on Sunday. Of course, Pentecost Sunday is the day when the Holy Spirit came to rest on each of the disciples who were gathered together, and it's a moment when they were all inside a house. The Holy Spirit came and was with them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking different tongues. And then what did they do after that? They didn't just stay indoors, did they? They went out into the world, and they caused bewilderment and amazement, and people thought they were drunk. And it was just, it's just such a wonderful, remarkable story and moment. And one of the songs that we love to sing at the minute in church, King of Kings, has that amazing line in it where it says, "And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame." Yeah. And it's like, that's what it is for us. That's totally this moment. And I think Pentecost Sunday is one of those days that has almost been, not necessarily forgotten, but we sort of put it quite a lot lower than Christmas Day and Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the reality of it is that for us as Christians, I think there's probably a very strong argument to say that Pentecost Sunday is just as important as the other celebrations that we have. Having just two parts of the Trinity as being around sort of doesn't really work, does it? So to have the Holy Spirit come and live within us, we know to be a hugely important thing. And of course, all of the parts are linked. Jesus coming into the earth as a child, Jesus dying for our sins, the ultimate redemption for ourselves, followed by the amazing resurrection and the way that death is defeated. But then we see this moment, don't we? We see Pentecost Sunday and just this remarkable moment when God comes to live within us. And I just think that's one of those things that I guess it's a real shame if you don't celebrate it. It really is something that we have to take on and acknowledge. And it's just such a powerful moment.
Yeah, and I think we should celebrate it more. I you know, growing up as a kid in church, I can't particularly remember a lot about Pentecost Sunday. It used to be Whit Sunday or Whitsun, I think. I can remember that, but which sort of has that connotation. But I think we should be bold and definitely confident in this story and celebrate it, as you say. Yeah, the coming of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit, I think, inextricably linked, aren't they? And you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit at work, then you know we're not going to be able to do what He's called us to do. And it is that power, isn't it? It's that power of God. And funnily enough, we were on Joshua chapter 6 as well, which I have to admit wasn't planned as carefully, but it seemed to fit very
nicely. You say it wasn't planned, but I think we've learned over the past year or so that things not being planned doesn't mean that there wasn't a plan.
No. You know, I was thinking this morning, what if it had been Joshua 5 we'd ended up on, or Joshua 7 would have been.
Well, I think we'd, what would have happened is we'd have taken a week off from the sermon series.
I think so. Because Joshua 7 this week is going to be very interesting. I wouldn't have liked to have done it last Sunday. But hey, Joshua 6 with the walls of Jericho. Tom, you're going to read us a few verses of Joshua 6, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to read the incredible setup. The incredible moment when God says to Joshua, "Look, I've already done all this for you. This is how it's going to happen. You just need to do what I say." So this is Joshua 6, and I'm just going to read from verses 1 to verse 5. "The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Disappointed you didn't shout 7 back at me, Tim, when I was saying that.
Oh, sorry, yes.
But all the way through this story, I know we probably keep saying it, and you're bored of us saying it, but how many times did God just deliver them? Did God say to them, "You're going to do this. This is how you're going to do it. This is why you're going to do it. Go and do it." And it's kind of a explanation followed by a reason followed by just do as I said, like just go and do. And we, of course, as the passage goes on, we see exactly what God said happened. And you know, to have been there, to have been there to see walls fall down as people shout. In the youth group on Sunday night, we got one of the young people, an enthusiastic member of the youth group, to go and shout at the wall of the hub. Because we kind of said, "Do you think you could knock it down by shouting?" He said, "I'm willing to give it a go." So he went to the wall of the hub. He shouted as loud as he can. I reckon he looked like an absolute idiot to everyone who was out in the streets and flats and so on. But I think we kind of proved the point that there was no possibility that he was going to be able to bring the walls down just by shouting alone. And at no point in this here, in this story, do we see force. We don't see any sort of impact. We don't see a trebuchet lining up a shot against the walls of Jericho. All we see is the power of words, of voice, and ultimately, because our words and voices can't generally knock walls down, we see the power of God. And we see the way that God kind of broke down those walls and the Israelites moved in.
And it, part of this, I think, for me, is about, you know, this sense of just doing what God asks you to do. Do you know? I mean, for the disciples in the room, you know, Jesus said to them, "Wait in Jerusalem until you receive." You know, he didn't give them a timetable, did he?
No.
But they waited. Do you know? And they must have been a bit frustrated. You know, okay, they were fearful. I get that. So maybe it was a nice, safe place. But they were ready when God, you know, chose the moment. And this as well, do you know, who would have believed, you know, that the military strategy was just walking around the walls, you know?
Could you imagine being inside the walls? Could you imagine, if you picture yourself inside the walls, Jericho, looking at them thinking, hang on a minute, wait, what?
Yeah.
And there's lots of things said about Jericho, and the description of it varies depending on who you read and what you read.
Yeah.
But one of the things that goes throughout is that this was a fortified city.
Yeah.
And there might not have been many inhabitants, so we have to go with that it might not have been a huge dwelling, but the idea was that this wasn't going to be broken down. You weren't going to get into Jericho if they didn't want you to get in.
Yeah.
And so, just incredible. Just amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an amazing thing. And bless Joshua, do you know, who, you know, was a warrior, you know, but his obedience, you know, even the verse before chapter 7, you know, take off your sandals for the place where you stand is holy ground. You know, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to take your shoes off and just stand and enjoy God's presence. And now this is what I want you to do. And, you know, this is very simple. It's a bit, just reminded me really about Jesus and one of his healings, wasn't it, with the commander, was it Naaman, wasn't it? And he told him to go and wash in the pool to cure his leprosy, and he says to Jesus, you know, can't I do something more important than that? All I've got to do is go and wash in the pool and I'll be cured, you know. Surely there's something better than that, you know. And I think sometimes we need to learn that lesson, you know, that God asks us to do simple things in his way, and sometimes we're looking for the big thing, but yeah, the simple day-to-day things he's just asking us to do. Go and talk to that person over there, you know, that you just passed. Turn around and go back. Why don't you just buy something extra in your shopping and give it to the food bank or something? You know, whenever we're prompted, those simple things can become used by God for his glory, can't it? So, an amazing. When we let God be God, when we let God's power work through us, then who knows? Who knows what the outcome is? And he certainly has a great track record of doing things that are impossible, because with God, anything is possible. And we know that as well, don't we?
We do.
Brilliant.
I think you've brought up a great little thing there at the end about the ways that God prompts us. And I suppose I can sort of finish with sharing a bit of a story of my time at university. And I don't know whether you did this, Tim, when you were a bit younger, but treasure hunting. Would you know? So treasure hunting is a kind of thing that I think most people at university, if you're involved with Christian Union, seem to do, and for whatever reason, you don't do it beyond there, which is a real shame, because effectively
we used to do it in cars. We used to have car treasure hunts, I remember, in church to raise money.
Okay, so
but anyway, yeah.
So I suppose I'm on about treasure hunting in terms of praying for people.
Oh, I
can
it
see
now.
Where you're.
Yes,
you're going to a different direction.
That,
I'm going
I've
into the thing
that.
Where what we did was there was a group of I think there was only three or four of us, and we went into the town centre, city centre of Bristol, and the idea was we would just pray. We'd pray together, and we would ask God, like, we want to serve people here. We want to be your disciples, but we're all a bit scared to just go up to people. We're not street preachers or anything like that. We almost need you to be on our side with this. Are you able to sort of prompt us to go and pray for somebody in particular? And I think I look back on my time, and when I did it, I got very little. In fact, I would probably say I got nothing that I really felt was from God. And I was thinking it was a bit of a wasted adventure. Until we sort of realised as a group of us that one of us had gone missing. And it turns out that this person had received such a clear picture from God to go into a shop to find this person and to pray for them. And he'd heard this person's name by name. So he knew this person's name. He knew they had an illness and God wanted to cure them. And it was just like this incredible motion that began to happen. And just like, I suppose what I can say in that moment is that for all of us, we were all asking God, can you come and prompt us to go and do something? And in that moment, a couple of us, we didn't noticeably hear anything. However, God did speak to one of the people who was in our group. And this is the kind of story that is echoed across all different people who've gone through this process. Soul Survivor, the one of the stories that they share about praying for other people is exactly the same, where there were two of them who went there and one person felt a prompt to go and pray for someone, and then one person got egged on to go and pray for someone when it was not God. It clearly wasn't. But I think what I can say is that in that moment, if none of us had asked God to who we could pray for, how we could help them, I don't think we'd have had anything. But we all did it and one of us got it. So I think I'd be urging you, seek that. Keep on asking God, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to go and do for someone else? Who should I be going to help? Which family from church should I be praying for? Who should I be giving a phone call to? And sometimes, you know, if you don't receive an answer or you don't think you hear an answer, then that might be a prompt for you to just do what's in your own, like what you're able to do. Call the person you want to call, call the person that you want to speak to. But the more we open ourselves up to hearing from God, the more times we're going to be able to do God's will. I think that much is pretty clear from my own personal experience. And I think as we look all the way through the Bible, we see that as well. That when God's people call out to him, there are times when God is quiet. But equally, there's plenty of times when God responds. And God often, as has happened in the story that we see with Joshua, God can respond in ways that are pretty weird and don't always make sense. But actually what happened there delivered the promised land to the Israelites. And that was the process that God took. And for the folk that we hear about in Acts chapter 2, that's the exact same thing there. They listened to what Jesus told them to do. They waited and God came amongst them. And I think that God could have done it silently. I think it's very possible. And the reason I think that God could have done it silently is because for me in my own personal journey, when I became a Christian, I didn't get tongues of fire coming and sitting on my head. So I'm going to work on the principle that God could have done it silently, but for whatever reason, God chose to come amongst them with tongues of fire that sat on each of them and the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house and all of that kind of thing. So we've just seen, haven't we? Listen to God. Responds when he asks you to do things and just be willing to go on a slightly different direction than you might have done before. Because that's all of what we see in Joshua, isn't it? How are you going to know this is the right way to go? Because you haven't been this way before. And for all of us, this is what we're going into this next chapter of life. Just before me and Tim recorded this podcast, we were saying to each other that we're fairly sure there's going to be things that are going to be coming up in our church life that we have never done before. And that's going to be a challenge because it's probably going to mean letting go of some of the things that we did previously. But we're excited by that. We're excited by this possibility of us opening ourselves up to what God wants us to do right now in this season for the group of people that God is calling to be a part of our church. And we're not going to stand in the way of what God wants to do. Sorry if you're hoping that we will, but we're not. We're really excited to see what direction God wants to take us because, you know, as we see from Joshua 1 verse 4, the direction that we're going is surely going to be somewhere where we've not been before.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Tom. brilliant stuff. And yeah, it's a challenge for all of us. There may be walls that we've built up over the years in our own lives, perhaps in our own faith journey as well. And some of those are going to be shaken a little bit. They've already been shaken, I'm sure, for many of us over these last few months. But that God does that for a reason and a purpose, not to destroy us or damage us, but so that we grow and learn to trust in him more and more. So let's let God do what he wants to do, and let's be a people who follow him. Thanks, Tom. Brilliant to chat again. And for those of you that are listening, thank you very much indeed. Let's pray as we go into the rest of our day. Father God, thank you. You're a surprising God, but we thank you for that. And I pray today and each day of this week that you'll surprise us with just a deeper awareness of yourself. Make yourself known to us, I pray. Speak to us, whisper to us, direct us, open our eyes, open our ears, so that we might be an obedient people and do what you've called us to do. We thank you for those Israelites who just obeyed what you asked them to do. Thank you for the disciples who listened and obeyed. You took them out of that room to declare your praises. We pray that we will continue to lift your name high, and that you will draw people to yourself, and many, many more people will be saved. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you next time on Sunday, hopefully, God willing, for our morning worship service at 10:30. When Tim, as you said earlier, you have got the tricky thing of talking about Joshua chapter 7.
Joshua 7. It's worth reading before you come. Just to... And pray for me.
Will do. God bless.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.